I hope you'll be back. Also, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll go to a very familiar story. The occasion of this story is given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the occasion of it was a very earthly situation that happens quite a bit. It was a dispute in a family about the inheritance. And one spoke to Jesus and said, speak to my brother that he might divide the inheritance with me. And the Lord Jesus said, look out for covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he told this story that we'll read here in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the best investment. In fact, I thought I might even title it Tips for the Best Investment. Now, you know, we just had the Restore-a-thon, so you understand we've been talking about investing in the right cause, amen. We invest in a lot of things. I heard about a young man, he was looking and longing after a pretty young girl he was seeing, and he said, oh, I'd give $5 for just a little curl of her hair. His buddy overheard him, said, hey, invest $15, I'll get you the whole thing. I know where she bought it. All kind of investments, amen. Well, you read about a guy that didn't invest too good right here in Luke chapter 12. Picking it up in verse 16, and he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, you know, the economy is much in the news, isn't it? I don't know. I guess it was Friday that the cuts were supposed to take place. I mean, we're supposed to be seeing airplanes fall out of the sky. I mean, we're supposed to be seeing schools closed and all that because they're cutting 3%. Less than 3%, about 2.8 from the budget. Oh, what a joke. With this overstuffed, bloated government, and we can't cut 2 or 3%. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? I mean, of course, they want to intimidate us, so they're going to let out all the prisoners, all the criminals out of jail, because they can't afford to keep them anymore. I wouldn't mind them letting them out if some of them in Washington would go take their place. Amen. Going to waste the money, though. They don't waste any. Did you see, honestly, in the news where they have spent several million trying to build a robotic squirrel? Now, I don't know. What's the point in that? I saw a long time back where they spent several million to try to get folks to write more letters to each other. They're a little out of date. Email has pretty well replaced it, and the post office is about to close over it, amen? But, I mean, it's crazy. They spend millions to protect the polar bear when we got more polar bears than we've ever had in our life. But 100 years from now, they might become more extinct, they say. Do you ever see that thing on TV where they got one lone polar bear on a little slab of ice? And oh, your heart just bleeds. The polar bear is about to die. Hey, that polar bear is a good swimmer. He swam out to that block of ice. He's taking an ice bath out there. Truthfully, you look at some of the documentaries, they go under the water and catch the seals and even small whales, and they're great swimmers. Hey, it's a con's what it is. It's a real con. I mean, You see the cons on TV, and thank God we recognize most of them. There's a couple here in church retired a few years ago. They're in heaven now, but somehow up north, before they came down here, they invested in a retirement spot out in Colorado. And Alamosa, Colorado. And they got here and decided they couldn't go out there. The health began to break. So they gave to the church the lots that they had bought in Colorado. And they gave me a brochure. It was beautiful. Green trees, grass, a stream of water, and young bambis drinking out of the stream. That's dear for you folks. Said, preacher, go out there, just give it to the church. Well, I was preaching somewhere in Colorado, Denver, I think, and I got me a side plane, and I went into Alamosa, and I got in the worst dust storm I've ever seen, and I found out that out there was nothing but desert, and a con man had divided up and sold it to people everywhere. No electricity, no water, no trees, no nothing. And I finally went into the town and found the real estate office. This is God's truth. I walked in, I had the brochure in my hand, and that fella jumped up behind the desk, and he always kept the rear door between where he could get out of it. I've never seen a guy so scared. Honest. I said, hey man, talk to me, don't leave. He said, where'd you get that? I said, somebody gave it to our church. He never let me get within 10 foot of him. He knew what he deserved. He had pulled a big con. Recently I read in the paper where Alamosa is a place where a lot of UFOs land. I thought that rascal advertised on Mars for sure. Really. Con, big con. Get folks to invest. Cheat them out of their money is what it amounts to. Truth is, we're all investors, and we make good investments and we make bad investments. You look over here, you see the old hotel building that's our college now. When I was in about the fourth grade, there was a fellow that the economy went bad, his investments went bad, everything, the bottom fell out. And about the time I was in the fourth grade, he come flying under the underpass with his car. He stopped it in front of the hotel. He ran up the stairs to the highest point, and he jumped out. And the fall didn't hurt him, but the stop killed him. And back in those days, we were in the old brick school building down there. There was no air conditioning, and the windows were open in the summer, closed in the winter. That was the winter. That was it. A buddy of mine was looking out the window and saw him come off. My buddy had a speech problem. And he saw something like that, and it shocked him. He ran to the teacher, and he tried, and the boy, she about paddled him because he couldn't tell her what he had just seen. The truth is that man's investment went bad, and he committed suicide. We look around, and we see here in the text, here was a rich farmer, but he made a mistake. He made a bad investment because the Lord said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall these things be? Think about it. See, Jesus is telling him here it was a bad investment. You didn't take God into it. You didn't do right. You done wrong. It was all about you. It was the I generation again. It was all about me. And folks, we've moved to that time today. Jesus sums up this passage in the following verses. I won't read them, but better summation of it is made over in Matthew 6, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And I read over there what the Lord Jesus said. It sums it up in two verses. Just listen to it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But here's the opposite. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal, nor steal. You know, truth of the matter is, Jesus is saying, you need to get your priorities right. You need to understand, and he's given us some tips on what would be the best investments that we could make. First, he tells us some things not to do. He warns us about laying up stuff on earth. I think it's Bill O'Reilly on the news that said, especially after the election, America's become a generation wanting stuff. And there's a lot of real truth to that. We look around today and we see that everybody is in it for what I can get out of it. And that's running us, it's destroying us as a country. But the Lord warns about laying up on earth. Now why? He said, because on earth moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. You know, the Bible says that riches, Proverbs 23, I believe it is, says that riches make themselves wings and fly away. That's talking about earthly riches. Talking about what you can put in your pocket, what you can put in your bank account. You know, Jesus also refers in this passage to thieves. And have you ever come home and found out the thief had been there? Have you ever come home and found the home was broken into? I had that happen a couple of times. My wife and I were up in Atlanta visiting Stephen and his family when they were up there, and we came home and we got in after dark and opened the kitchen door, and my wife, you know, always wives are not trustful of husbands. She said, "Did you leave that gun laying in the kitchen floor?" I said, "No, not hardly." They'd gathered up my guns and dropped one of them in the kitchen floor. They'd gotten some of her stuff, and at that point she didn't know it, but they'd gotten her car also. We got the deputy out there, and he and I were going around taking inventory about what all had been ripped off, and walked by the bedroom door, and there she was on her knees at the bed praying. You know why she was praying? She sort of giggled when I said, she said, "Well, the old jewelry I had was just plastic. They didn't get much." I said, "How about my guns?" That didn't impress her much. I said, "I got one for you. How about your car? Did you know your car's gone?" That's why she went to praying. Passed by the door. There she was praying on her knees. I went on, got my business taken over with the deputy. But you see, I asked her, I said, "Are you praying about my guns?" I knew better. She was praying about the car. That was what was important to her. That's where her investment was there, but she liked that old car. Thieves do break through down here, and it's a bad feeling when that happens. And all of a sudden you have something, you don't have it now. Something was good, now it's destroyed. And we recognize Jesus was telling us the truth. In this world, it can rust away. The moths can get the best suit you've got, and the thieves can get everything you've got. That's the old world that we live in today. That's what he was talking about here. Biggest thieves I know of are the government thieves, and I guess you'd call them the legal thieves, I'm not sure. We're moving in from a capitalistic earn, pay your way as you go, to a socialism where I want what somebody else has got and feel like I deserve to get it. That's where we move to. And by the way, folks, there's only that much difference between socialism and communism. If you think communism is good, go to Russia, even yet, or Cuba. How many of you kids, when you were kids in school, let me get it this way. It'll probably take some of you older ones to remember this. I'm not sure it's taught anymore. But they used to teach us in school that communism was bad. They really did. And there were some little slogans that I remember one of them a little bit. I don't know if I can quote it exactly, but it says something like this. It says, it's talking about taking. It says, "From each according to his ability, to each according to his need." In other words, take from the ones that will work and earn it, give it to the ones that won't. That's what it's talking about. It's a take and give thing, and that's what we've got going on today. And folks, no nation can stand that very long. When I was over in Russia, we were smuggling Bibles in. It was something to see what communism had done to the common man. We met some fellas out there that were just gritting a little bit of life out of the frozen dirt, so to speak. I remember a man that we had a flashlight, and it was the first time he'd ever held a flashlight in his hand. To turn it on and off was as amazing to him as your smartphone is to me. Something like that. I don't want nothing that's smarter than me anyway in my hand. Amen. In all truth, though, that's not a good system, and we're about to get into it. We're moving that way, and we're moving that way fast. When I talk about thieves, I don't know of any greater thieves than that. But I want to say this. They are saying, we can take your money and spend it better than you can. That's why they're giving it over there to Egypt, to the Muslim Brotherhood. That's why we're sending them jet airplanes and tanks. They're taking my money and your money, and they're doing that with it. Listen, folks, our system is in trouble today, and they're violating the biblical principles that we're reading about right here. Sad truth. Here's some things Jesus is telling us not to do. Not to try to lay it up here, that it can disappear. The thief can break in and steal. It can rot away here on this old earth. And the truth is, we need to make a higher, better investment. That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about. We just had our Restore-a-thon. Stephen mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. We had a lot of folks that invested in a greater cause, a bigger cause, a needy cause, a cause that that investment, brother, will be waiting on them in heaven. It's not something the thieves can get to. It's not something that can rust away. It's something that will last. There's some things he tells us here not to do. There's some things he tells us to do. He says, lay up your treasure in heaven. Now, I know the old saying, you can't take it with you. I've often said, no, you can't, but you can send it ahead. You can really do that. We have some old songs that says you can't take it with you. Somebody wrote a song, and you can drive your car to the grave, but somebody will drive it away. Anybody ever hear that? I've known very few that drove it to the grave. Somebody else drove them there, amen. But I understand the principle that they're talking about. The fact is, you're gonna have to leave it. One rich man said he was gonna prove you could take it with you. So he got his doctor, he got his lawyer, and he got his preacher. And he said, this is all my whole fortune, $3 million. He said, I am going to give it $1 million to the doctor, $1 million to the lawyer, $1 million to the preacher, and at the graveside I want everybody to see you throw it in when they cover me up. Well, they did. They threw it in, but walking on away from it, the crowd was dispersing. The lawyer said, my conscience is bothering me. That's a good thing with a lawyer. Said, my conscience is bothering me. He said, I'm gonna confess. He said, I only threw half of it in. He said, I felt like I saved him so much money during the time I took care of his business that I would keep half of it. Well, the doctor spoke up and said, well, I guess if you confessed, I'll confess too. He said, I know that I needed some money for medical research, and he said, I kept 25% of it. Preacher said, I'm ashamed of both of you. You promised the man you'd throw it all away in the grave and cover it up. I'm ashamed of you. They said, well, what'd you do? He said, listen, I gave it all. He said, I wrote my personal check for every bit of it. Can't get ahead of a preacher, brother. I'm talking about, joking about it a little bit, but you know what the problem is? The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. We're living in the most covetous generation. And we've got this strange idea that somebody has got more than us, we got a right to it. No, you don't. No, you don't. I mean, the old-fashioned way of earning it, the old-fashioned way of working for it, I mean, that's what our grandparents built this nation on. And this nation's not going to survive till we get back to that kind of a principle, a biblical principle, by the way. You know, this whole idea that I'm going to have it forever. No, you're not. I read a story a long time ago, and I believe it was true. A man on his deathbed, they were trying to get him saved. You know, it's amazing to me how kin folks get excited about somebody's soul when they get on the deathbed. Many times when it's too late. They ought to get excited about it, care about it earlier than that. But they were trying to get the man saved. They brought in a preacher or two to see him, and the, And one of the preachers went in, and he gave him the plan of salvation, and he said to the man, and you've seen preachers do this, I may have done it myself. He said to the man, if you'll take Christ, he was so weak he couldn't hardly speak, he couldn't make any sounds, but he said, if you'll take Christ, reach out and take my hand, just like my hand was the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll accept him, just reach out and take my hand. And the man on the bed instead kept his fist closed and pulled back like this. And he would not. Preacher left, and after a while, the man died. And they stretched out his arm, and they opened up his hand, and in the hand was a key to his deposit box, where he had all of his wealth. Oh, I think that clenched hand and that idea behind it is going to cause a lot of people to die lost. So afraid somebody was going to get his key to his deposit box. You know, I think about the thing to do, lay up treasures in heaven. That's what we saw at our Restore-a-thon. For you folks that might not know about it, we had 3 days of giving on the radio. We have revival on the radio as our people gave to the Lord to raise the budget for another 3 years. And I saw many making eternal investments. That's what was going on. Thank God for so many of you, and some of you are not church members, but radio listeners out in the world. We praise God for what you did, and we saw the Lord get in it in that last 20 minutes and really do something big. And by the grace of God, we just really had something tremendous. Some of us was in tears by the time the thing was over, and just wonderful to see what God did. Folks don't understand this, but sometimes earthly subtraction is heavenly addition. I mean, God, we joke about it down at the radio station. This is Restore-a-thon arithmetic. Well, God's got heavenly arithmetic, heavenly math. And, a lot of folks can't get a hold of that. I, as a preacher, I've seen a lot of God's greatest people, I believe. I don't believe anybody will know who I'm talking about, but some years ago, there was a man and his wife that came, retired here, lived here, and died here. And I noticed every time we took up an offering or something special, just on the quiet, he'd come by and he'd give special to it. And I thank God for that. I've seen a lot of folks like that. But he got on his deathbed, and I would go and sit and read scripture to him. And he would request certain passages that I would read to him. And after about the second or third time, he was getting weaker. He said, "Preacher, I know you want an explanation." He said, "I know you've noticed that every time you build a building or every time you did something special that," he said, I gave to it. He said, "I know you've noticed it." And he said, "I'm sure you wonder where I got that money from." He said, "Let me tell you the story." He said, "The story is that my wife and I just worked hard. We never thought about getting rich. We had a business and some property, and it never dawned on us until we began to lose our health and retire. And the real estate person come out and said, 'Do you understand that this property has grown in value through the years to it's worth over $1 million? He said, "That shocked us. We didn't know that." He said, "Sure enough, we sold it." And he said, "Preacher, for a little while, I was a millionaire." Said, "For a little while, I had $1 million. But," he said, "I started giving it away to God's cause." He said, "I gave it to missionaries." He said, "I helped churches with building programs." He said, "After I retired and come here," he said, "you know what I've done on occasion." And he said, "I want you to know where that come from." He said, "I want you to know what's left." He said, "I'm about to die." He said, "The little old house I bought for my wife is paid for." He said, "I've bought her a new car." He said, "Preacher, I'm no longer a millionaire." He said, "I've left her $25,000 in the bank." And he said, "I know she's going to follow me real quick on to heaven, and she probably is going to be okay until then." Now, I want to say something to you. You say, "Well, that's not smart." Well, I don't know. If you were with him now, would you consider it smarter? Huh? I mean, what about heaven's viewpoint on it? Amen? I'm just saying to you folks what Jesus is. Listen, he said this rich farmer was a fool because he was just thinking about himself and ignoring the life hereafter, ignoring facing God. Oh yeah, there's some things to do, and that's to lay up our treasure in heaven. You know what makes one invest wisely? It's right here in the text. Drop over to verse 21 in Luke chapter 12. Pick it up in I believe it's verse 21. Well, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Drop over to verse 34. Here's the answer. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you understand the weight of those words? Hey, you got some kids? Are they your treasure? Do they have your heart? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Is it a treasure to you to see souls saved? Is it a treasure to you to have the missionary go to the field with the gospel? Then that's where your heart will be. Where your treasure is, that will your heart be. And folks, that's the clue right here. What makes one invest heavenly wisely is where our heart's at. Now listen to me a minute, and you know this is the truth. What I'm saying right now puzzles the world. They can't figure it out. What we did in 3 days, raising the radio budget and seeing our folks sacrifice to give, makes some folks say they're nuts. Something wrong with them. When they see our joy and the fulfillment we have, I'd just like to say to some of them, it's none of your business. You spend your money where you want to, we'll invest ours where we want to. You invest yours in a bunch of stuff that you thought was going to make you happy and it's rusting. The thieves have stole it. You've cast it aside. You got to have a garage sale pretty soon. You didn't find any fulfillment in it, did you? The contentment didn't last very long. But what we were doing for the last 3 days has got heavenly contentment with it. Brother, it's going to have a heavenly reward. We just done what we wanted to. That's where our joy's at, because that's where our heart's at. That's where our treasure was. You see, things don't satisfy. Somebody's coined a little lie. A little lie says, he who has the most toys wins. No. You can't take the toys on the other side either. And the newer wear off of them here. How many of you ever got a bicycle and that first night you wanted to sleep with it? But it wasn't but a few weeks you left it outside and let the dew and the cold and the sun and the dirt get on it, because the new wore off of it. And the new wears off everything in this old world. It does all the time. Truth is, the new won't wear off in heaven. Amen. You say, preacher, are you preaching that you can buy your way to heaven? Oh, no. We don't give to pay our way to heaven. We give out of gratitude to the one that has paid our way to heaven. There's a big difference. There is a big difference. That difference is that the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. Thank God. We can get up here and enjoy church, enjoy the singing, enjoy preaching the Word of God, enjoy trying to get others to get in on the joy that we have and the assurance we have and the salvation that we know of. Oh, we get a lot of joy out of that. We had a great invitation last week, and praise God, a bunch of folks got saved. And hey, that was my joy. Disney World can't match that. Nothing this old world's got can match that. So I don't understand what you're talking about. Then you probably need to get saved yourself. Get the Holy Spirit living in you, and your taste will turn to His taste. You'll enjoy what He enjoys, and you'll know what He enjoys, and you'll know what He don't enjoy when you get into it. Amen? Oh, yeah, I say to you, to be accused of buying my way to heaven, oh, no. I just want to show God all the gratitude I can, because He's already bought my ticket. He's already paid my way. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have the assurance of heaven as if I'd already been there 10 years. I'm seated in heavenly places with Him. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Give you a little personal testimony. When I was just a little boy, I believed in God. I remember getting inside of a creek bank and saying to God, if you made all this water and these pretty rocks and trees, somebody had to make them, Lord, you must be real. I remember that like it was yesterday. I believed in God. My life got in a mess long after that. I wasn't saved. I didn't know the gospel, but I believed in God. I grew up and realized after a while as a young man, my life is pretty well vain. I got into my hot rods and cars and stuff, and yet while I enjoyed it and still loved to look at them and all that, I knew it don't really have a good purpose. I knew it was vanity. I didn't know the book of Ecclesiastes was in the Bible where it said all is vanity, talking about this earthly life, but that's what I felt deep in my heart. This really doesn't have a long-range good outturn to it. And I didn't have peace about it. Then I went to church and sat on the back row and heard the gospel for the first time. Heard the good news that Jesus died for me while I was yet a sinner, paid for all my sins, and that I could have heaven, eternal life, salvation as a gift that he bought, that he paid for. Best news I ever heard in my life, that Christ loved me while I was yet a sinner and took my sins on him and paid for them and gave me eternal life only to accept it, to receive it. It's all I had to do, like any gift. That's the best news I ever heard, the very best. The gospel of grace. I got saved. You know what happened? When I got saved, I didn't only get assurance of heaven. I got a cause to live for on this earth. There's a lot of people live and their cause is just get some more sleep, get some more food, get some more pleasure. Oh no, you ought to have a bigger cause than that. And my cause after being saved is to serve Christ and to get others to know about him. And so I'm investing in this life in a cause bigger than me and bigger than the world and bigger than the government. That cause of Christ to reach souls. Amen. I've got a cause now. Bible says set your affections. Set your affections on things above. That's an investment up there. Above, not below. Wonderful, wonderful truth. I say to you here this morning, if you're not saved, this text right here tells you about a man that did well. His neighbors would have loved to have lived by him. His banker was pleased with him. His lawyers probably thought this is a smart man. But when he died, God called him a fool. What a difference in the viewpoint. What a difference in the evaluation. God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Did you learn when you were a kid? Did somebody teach you a little prayer when you went to sleep at night? Lord, now lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Didn't it go something like that? Is that pretty close? How many of you saw in the news where the man lay down to sleep over here in Brandon? But before he awoke in the morning, the most unexpected, horrible thing, the bottom fell out of his bedroom and he fell into a pit. Gone. I don't know where they've dug him up yet or not. That's a horrible thing. Well, you see, I don't know how this farmer died in Luke 12, but he died that night. He didn't expect it when he lay down. That man over there didn't expect it. Who in the world would expect my bedroom could fall in the heart of the earth and bury me alive tonight before I could get out of bed? Who would ever think such a thing? You and I don't know how we're going to go, but we don't know we are going to go. It may not be a hole that way. It may not be the bottom falling out. It may be the car wreck. It may be the doctor shaking his head, but we are going to go. What kind of investment are we going to? What have we invested in? To begin with, you invest your soul in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the most precious thing you've got. It's more precious than that bank account or that car or that house or your name or anything. Your soul, ever living soul is going to live on somewhere. Have you invested in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that paid for that soul, paid for your sins? Have you come and received him and let him be your Savior? That's where you start your investment. And then if you get saved, you live here, there's a cause then that makes it worth living. And that cause is to serve the one that paid the price for you to be saved. Oh, today with the world crumbling everywhere you look, things going bad. Oh, my friend, don't gamble. The hole could open up for you in many different ways. Overnight, you could be facing God. How would you face him? Have you invested the life that he gave you back to him? Given it back to him? Have you given it back to the Lord Jesus that came and took on a body of flesh and died an awful death on a cross to pay for your sins? And he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. He invites you this morning. You can come this morning. You can leave that seat. You can meet the preacher right here and say, preacher, I'm openly, unashamedly telling you, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you?